Lord. Psalm 119 tonight. Psalm 119. We're in the sixth division of Psalm 119. We would consider it the closest to our letter V, but can also be pronounced with a W-A-W sound or wah. When I first began to look at that, it reminded me of the wah-wahs. If you don't know what a wah-wah is, I'm telling you, they're awesome. But it's that same sound. It's still that kind of sound. And sometimes Hebrew has a real Hebrew sound, you know, wah or wah. And so this letter, particular letter that we find here is similar to our letter V in this sense that if you open up a dictionary, you'll find that there's probably less letters in the dictionary that start with V and Z than any other of our alphabet in the English. And the same is in the Hebrew, that this is the lesser of words that begin with this letter. But at the same time, the psalmist found at least eight verses here that begin with this letter, wah. Now, we have looked at this series as a way of understanding that there's 22 Hebrew alphabet. So there are 22 sections of Psalm 119, and each one of them has eight verses. Now, I've already preached the first three verses of this, but I'm going to read all of it again, and then we're going to try to focus mainly on verses 45 through 48, but I do want to make a little bit of a comment before I do that. You understand that already, all right? Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. So let me just give you the idea that verse number 42 kind of gives us part of the central idea that there's somebody that's intimidating the person who's writing this, or the idea of intimidation or people coming against us. We need to understand that we have the answers from the Word of God. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. I will not even allow kings to intimidate me when it comes to the truth of God's word. And then I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. I want you to know tonight that our society, or what the way we live today and what we live in, would be very anti-Christ society. I hope that you understand that. I can't hardly go anywhere today. Yesterday, I was speaking to someone, and they asked me, what do you do? And I said, I'm a pastor. Oh, isn't this world terrible? And I'm thinking, well, do you have to be a pastor for somebody to understand that the world is terrible? But I was very thankful because it gave me an opportunity to be a witness to this man who says he doesn't know what he's going to do. And I told him basically, you know, that our hope is not in the political system of the day, but our hope is in Jesus Christ, because he is still the Savior of the world. But even though we are not of the world, you all understand tonight, we all still live in the world. So we live in this society, but we are becoming more and more aware in our own society tonight that whether it is the political arena or the public arena, it is very anti-Christ, a very anti-Christ society. And these things are trying to intimidate us and to intimidate our faith. And so we have the Sodomites who want to put us down because we're believers, or we believe the Bible, or we have morals based upon the Bible. And as I taught him basically in Sunday school on Sunday morning, the Word of God is more of a reality than what people think reality is and coming against the Word of God, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So when we begin to think about these political things and these political correct things and an antichrist society, first of all, let me say that the Apostle Paul and Peter and the apostles and many in the early church certainly probably dealt with a lot more things. They had to deal with a lot more antichrist society than we do, but it doesn't mean that that's not coming to us faster and faster than we could ever, that we would ever have dreamed of. So what is going on is the psalmist here is trying to give us some help when it comes to the area of answering our critics or facing intimidation. Now, I believe that if you understand the definition of the word intimidation, it really just means to make fearful. All right? To try to make somebody fearful of what they believe. And I do believe that our faith is trying, the world is trying to intimidate our faith. But I want to say tonight that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation gives us confidence and gives us comfort and gives us real, what I call, real reality. But I would say on a very practical basis tonight that all of us at some point in our life has been intimidated. We've been intimidated by the situation. We've been intimidated by the process or whatever that might be. And some people intimidate us and they don't even know it, that they're intimidating us. And so others endeavor to intimidate us on purpose. But I'll tell you, life is full of bullies, unfortunately, and critics that want to threaten or pressure or control or scare us to conform into their demands. Now, in the office yesterday, the word came up homophobic. And I said, well, what does that really mean? And, of course, I've got two young men that are just more, I mean, they're on the ball. They said, well, that means afraid of something. I said, well, I'm not afraid of the sodomite crowd or the homophobic. I'm not afraid. I think that we need to preach the gospel and pray for them, but to be afraid? Is that really what they think, that we should be afraid of? I'm telling you, I'm saved. I have the confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ that He's going to carry me through no matter what the situation might be. So life is certainly full of critics. There's a lot of those that are found. But I believe that in this section of Scripture, Psalm 119 gives us some great principles to how we can deal with this reproach that comes against us or intimidation. Now, I have to do this because I want to go back and just remind you of verse number 41. And I'll try not to do that in 42, 43, 44, best I can. But when I look at verse number 41, I really see what I call is the foundation against intimidation. And what I mean by that is the greatest of intimidations of life is death itself. But yet the psalmist says, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. Now you listen to me tonight. You're not saved. You don't know the Lord. You may lie to us, but when you're in the darkness of the night and you're by yourself and you think about eternal things or you begin to think about death, you are intimidated. I remember this. I remember as a young man, I remember as a 15-year-old boy laying in bed and thinking about death, but then saying, I need to go to sleep as soon as possible because I don't want to think about that. It scares me. And God has put within every man a God consciousness, even though we are dead in trespasses and sin. We are not animals. We are made in the image of God. So we have enough sense, even our conscience, to know that there is life after death, and really life never ends. There's just a transition. And so death is the greatest of all intimidations against life, but yet God has made a way that we can be saved and not be intimidated by death. Now, what happens now is we could go to something like Psalm 23 that says that a child of God who knows Christ as their Savior, it doesn't mean that we look forward to death, but the Bible does tell us that when our time comes, that we go through the valley of the shadow of death. And it's like anything else, what concerns us the most is the factor that since we've never gone through that, apprehension maybe of getting on the other side. But personally, based on the Word of God, I am convinced without a shadow of a doubt, once we get on the other side, we're going to say, what was the big deal? Glory, hallelujah, we're here. And it reminds me of course, I've told you this, but the man and the wife that died on the same day, and they got to heaven, and they were jumping and shouting and giving glory to God and said, this is awesome. And he looked at her and said, you know, we could have probably been here 10 years ago if you hadn't fed me all them bran muffins. So, but we are intimidated just because, but salvation does away with that. Amen. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you're here tonight, or under the sound of my voice, and you're not saved, you will understand there is a void in your life. There is a void in your heart. And it doesn't matter what education you get, and it doesn't matter what house you move into, and it doesn't matter what car you drive, it'll never fill that void. Only Christ can fill that void. So we saw that the response to a reproach in verse 42 was that we understand that the Word of God can energize us, embolden us to speak the truth. And basically we said in that part of the Scripture that God's Word has the answers. We need God's Word has the answers for every part of our life. And then we said that salvation brings assurance. It brings confidence. We can rely on the truth of God's Word, verse 43. We need to obey God's Word in verse number 44. And it's not just enough to obey a little bit or your way, but we must be in complete obedience to the Word of God. So now let's move on to verse number 45. See, that wasn't too bad. And we'll look at these last four verses. Now, with the idea of intimidation, I believe that verse 45 tells us that literally, because of the verses that preceded it, that we can actually have freedom from intimidation. Look at verse 45 and what it says. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Now, what God is telling us here is that whatever direction the Word of God takes us, if I will take that direction, then I will have liberty, or I will be free, or I will be enlarged, or I will be blessed. And God always blesses, of course, obedience. The aim of intimidation, I think you might understand, is to manipulate people or to control people against their will. And what we need to understand is there can be no liberty outside of following the will of God. Everybody understand that? Because when we backslide or get away from God or don't do what God says, we're not obedient to our parents, we don't fully follow the Word of God. We get off track. There is no liberty there. That's bondage. We get bound up by sin. And where there is sin, we have no liberty. We have no freedom. We have no blessing. We have no enlargement. And I'm telling you, the devil, the flesh, the world wants to intimidate us against the obedience of God's Word. It wants to manipulate us against the will of God. And we need to understand that intimidation wants to shackle people and silence them. And that's exactly what the world wants to do to God's people. They want to silence us. Now, I want you to understand something tonight. One of the things that we need to be very careful of is not to be ugly in our faith. And I've said it like this. I've said it like this, and I'll say it probably till I die. I am, unashamedly, an independent, Bible-believing, fundamental, non-charismatic, non-Calvinistic, King James only, mission-minded Baptist. Did I say independent? I hope I didn't leave that out. And fundamental to the doctrines. But I am not mad about it. Some people are mad about it. No, we're not mad about it. But it's okay to take a confident view of the Word of God. And one of the things that you need to understand and you need to grow in the grace of in the Lord in your life is this. When somebody tries to intimidate you in your faith, or somebody tries to tell you that we're monkeys or that we fell out of a tree, here's what you need to say. Don't get upset. Just say this. Well, here's what the Bible says. And then quote Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And do it with a sweet spirit and do it with the right attitude. And then when they say something else, don't say, well, here's what I think, because it doesn't really matter what you think. Say this. Well, here's what the Word of God says in the book of Hebrews or the book of Romans. You say, well, you're the preacher and you know all that. Well, no. We need to all grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. We need to all know what does the Bible say about these areas and be able to give an answer of the reason and the hope that lies within us when we're confronted with these things, rather than being intimidated by what they're saying. Just say, here's what the Word of God says. And then you can understand this. The Word will never return back void. It's kind of like, maybe I could use this illustration, but did you ever have your kids when they were a certain age? I don't know. I mean, it's like 6 to 8 or something like that, and you're trying to instruct them along in something, and they're kind of looking up here, or they're sitting in the church service, and you're saying, now listen to the preacher, listen to what's being said, but they're looking up over here, and they're looking up over here, and they're looking around over here. And then about 2 days later, something comes up, and they say, well, the preacher said this in the preaching. You're going, did you really hear that? Now, here's what I mean by that. They're listening. And that Word will do its job. It will speak to the hearts. And that's why we don't need to necessarily give our opinion. Now, basically, I have an opinion on everything. But when it comes to spiritual things and intimidation about this verse, about walking in liberty and seeking the precepts of God, don't let people shackle. I'll tell you what will happen is, Brother Wilhite on Sunday, I think we were visiting with him, and he was talking about that he was on the plane in Australia. He mentioned this in his preaching, and he got to talk to a Chinese girl, and the more he talked about the Lord, the people in front decided to get up and go back to the... Just by talking about the Lord and talking about the Bible, those people were intimidated. See, they want to intimidate us, but if you use the Word of God, it will actually intimidate, or as the Bible says, convict them, because the truth of God's Word always does its work. Now, I could go to some New Testament principles, like John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, or John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17 that says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the same idea here is there's direction. The Word takes me in the right direction. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as it in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Listen, you obey the Bible, you obey the Word of God, you get excited about the Word of God, you desire the Word of God, you put the Word of God to practice in your life, hey, it's just going to give you freedom. It's going to give you a liberty like you've never had before. And there is nothing more, there can be nothing that gives more freedom than to trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And there's nothing worse that will bind you up than to be disobedient to the Word of God. And so the truth of God's Word helps us to know what truth is. And if we know what truth is, then we can know what deception is. And so we need to understand that's very liberating. For instance, somebody is unsaved and they get saved. And there have been some addictions or some powers or some strongholds that have been found in a person's life. And they begin to they begin to read the Word of God and understand that they can reckon themselves dead to these things. That God will actually help them. And when they, and by the way, let me tell you this. People who are in addictions of some sort, and you, I could run the gamut, you can fill in the blank, but many times people that are in those addictions really come to the place where they're so shackled and they're so consumed that they actually believe, I'll never be able to get out of this. Now, I don't want to glorify sin, but I'm telling you that I know people and have been in situations where people have been so addicted by drugs or alcohol or some other addiction that inside of the addiction, they really believe that they're bound by it and they can never get out of it. And then they get saved and they realize they can be free from these sinful addictions. And it is the Word of God that sets them free. So, here, listen to me. Before I get out of this verse, you may be facing some kind of intimidation. You may be hesitant for some reason to share the gospel with somebody that God has laid on your heart. Listen to me. God has an answer for the intimidation, and it is found in, listen, walk in the Word of God, seek the precepts of God, and God will set you free. I remember the first time, I can almost remember it, the first time Robin and I was really burdened about somebody and you know, to witness to them. Well, you become intimidated by man fear. I mean, you can be intimidated by going out and knocking on doors. I mean, there is an intimidation there. But I've always found out once you go out and knock on a few doors and just talk to people, you find out they're people just like you are. They have problems. And I'll tell you, one of the things that can be done if you're out knocking on a door and somebody may seem to resist, or if, you know, sometimes they just slam the door in your face. But say something like this: hey, is there anything we can pray for you in this household? And then just stand there and have a word of prayer with them. Invite them to church. You know, I'm just telling you that's the one of the ways. But we come up on a door, we're so intimidated, we knock on the door going, oh God, I pray there's nobody here. They didn't come to the door in 5 seconds. Okay, we're going to the next door. Okay, man, got out of that one. But I remember when Robin and I had this couple, and so we finally got up, you know, so we had them over to our house. And it didn't go exactly the way we wanted it to. And they began to tell us, you know, that they didn't need God and that if they were going to do anything in their life, they would do it on their own. And they were self-made people and God wasn't going to help them. And anyhow, so we felt bad for them, and they rejected what we had to say. But I will tell you this, we were liberated. We felt liberty by the fact that we told them the truth and that we let them know that. Because the truth is I want to seek the precepts of God so that I can walk in freedom and in liberty. Then look at verse number 46, and here's the idea. Here it kind of goes a little bit further. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Now, this doesn't just mean Scott Kuzel being able to witness to a king. There's a principle that is found here, and that's this. Refuse to be ashamed of your faith. That's the idea that we find here. Whether it's before somebody that is a king, or whether it is before somebody that is a peer, if I could put it that way, don't refuse to be ashamed of your faith. Those in positions of authority can be very intimidating. All right? There's no doubt about it. I mean, somebody that you respect, or somebody that's a teacher, or somebody that is in a position of authority, whether that be a boss, especially when they threaten to punish you under their authority. When they like, you know, those that like to let you know that they have power over you, that can be very intimidating. But the encouragement from the Lord here is enable the psalmist to not be intimidated even by the power and the prestige of the king. And basically, the psalmist is telling us here he refused to be ashamed and he refused to be disappointed, if I could put it that way, about the Lord and His work. Hey, listen, Christ saved me and He changed my life. Did He change your life? All right? It's the greatest news that you could ever give anybody. Why would we be intimidated by that? If there was if a house was on fire, and you see the smoke bellowing out of a house that's a next door neighbor to you at 2 o'clock in the morning, I hope you're not fearful enough that you're not going to get out and run over, make a phone call, knock on the door, say, "Hey, get out! Your house is on fire." Listen, eternally, people are on fire. Their house is on fire. And you are the one that has the ability to tell them the fire can be put out. I hope you understand the analogy that I'm making. But in this day, it doesn't matter who it is. Man, you listen. Used to, people think, well, this city's saturated with the gospel. I don't know any city anymore that's been saturated with the gospel. I am totally amazed by talking to people in Springfield, Missouri. Did you hear what I said? In Springfield, Missouri, that have never heard the gospel. It's amazing, Brother Boonstra, that you talk to people and go house to house or door to door or talk to people or give people a tract or whatever it is. They've never heard of the gospel. Now, they heard about, if I'm good enough or if I get baptized, that's not the gospel. And so we need to make sure that the Scripture, that we're not ashamed. Maybe we could say we're fearless. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. You know what? George Washington put it this way, the father of our country. He said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." But yet in our society, nobody wants to know anything about what the Bible says. We're taking the Ten Commandments off of the walls of the court systems. And I'm just saying this. You may not be facing an intimidation from a king, but you could be facing an intimidation from a boss, a lost husband, a lost relative that doesn't know the Lord. But can I say to you that if you will ask God for wisdom and boldness to do the right thing and say the right thing, with the right attitude, at the right time, here's the basic, what I'm saying is, you don't have any reason to be ashamed of Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. Listen, you can speak testimonies before kings and not be ashamed. I'm reminded just reading through the book of Acts right now and reading about how bold the Apostle Paul was and willing that I'm over there in the 20 chapters and where they said, "Paul, don't go to Jerusalem now." Now listen, he said, "What?" And they finally understood, you're not going to stop this brother. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And he said, I'm willing to go to Jerusalem. I'm willing to die. And then it reminds me of back in Acts chapter 4 in verse number 18 when they called them together. And here's what they said, "We command you to not speak or teach in the name of Jesus." You got to knock it off. In verse 19, Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Now you know the political climate is becoming where they want to silence our testimony. And we've been told by some of them, well, those Christians are just going to have to get over themselves. And I believe we might have to go back to Acts chapter 4 and we might have to say, but we have to speak the things which we have seen and heard. We cannot silence the gospel. And you might understand, I'm not preaching gloom and doom. I'm preaching reality. And the reality is that the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, it's going to be worse. I don't understand these Jehovah Witnesses that want to knock on my door and say, isn't things are going to get better. Not in this world, no. I mean, that should teach you right there that they ain't got enough sense to get out of the rain to think things are getting better. Things ain't getting better. Things are not going to get better. All right, look at this. So here's the deal. If we're not ashamed of the Word of God, then we must have respect for the Word of God. Look at verse number 47. This is not just the idea of freedom and being fearless, but look at verse number 47. This is firmness, verse 47. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Here's what I want this is my heart's desire for every church member, Berean Baptist Church, that sets under the preaching week after week, is not just look forward to come to church, but to look forward to getting up and getting in your Bible. Wow, three people are excited about that. It is a prayer of mine. I want my life to be such that when my eyes open in the morning, that I get coffee and the Bible. Yes, I said that. I really said that. Because to me, they go together, man. I mean, drinking coffee and reading your Bible. In fact, I will, you know, if I get to a certain point, I go, okay, I'll be back tomorrow to see what David's going to do now, even though I've read it before. I don't care. I want to read it like it's fresh and anew and be excited and delight myself in the commandments. Now, unfortunately, sometimes I'll be reading along there in the Proverbs or in the Psalms, and it won't just be a delight, it'll be a conviction. Because God wants us to delight in His Word, but He also wants us to be convicted when we're not doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Everybody with me tonight? Somebody say amen. Brother Hammond hadn't gone to sleep yet, so I'm good. I'm still good here. Now let's think about this. Delighting in God's Word is a great defense of the intimidation of the world. Let me tell you something. When God began to deal with it, I just told this. I was writing this in my little booklet. I'm writing Maxims of a Missouri Preacher. And I'm taking all my rules of ministry and I'm writing illustrations and I'm adding to them. And one of my rules of ministry or maxim is some things you just can't make up. I mean, stuff happens and you're like, you can't make this up. And so probably one of the first times of that was when God was dealing with me about preaching. And I was telling the staff guys this, so I'll tell you this story. And so what I did was basically, I'm just telling you I'm a hillbilly. I understand that. Actually, I'm half hillbilly and half redneck, so I'm half and half. So when I got saved and I started reading my Bible, I was so excited about the truth of the Scripture. And then God started dealing with me about preaching. So my attitude was, well, Lord, I appreciate it, but I'm not interested. That was my attitude. Okay, I think I understand what you're doing, Lord. I think I understand what you're saying, but I'm not interested. I don't want to do that. I've got other things that I would like to do. The only problem with that is, as much as I like to read the Bible and wanted to learn something, it came to the place where every time I'd read the Bible, God would be dealing with me about preaching. So one day I decided, well, if I quit reading my Bible, then God will leave me alone, right? I got great reasoning, I'm telling you. I'm young in the Lord. So I quit reading my Bible for about 3 days. Then that started convicting me that I wasn't reading my Bible like I should be. So on the third or fourth day after reading my Bible, I was being convicted and I was driving from Randolph Air Force Base to Fort Sam Houston. Even though we were stationed at Randolph, I worked on Fort Sam Houston. It's a long story, but anyhow. So I'm making this drive that was probably 25 minutes and I'm driving along thinking that I hadn't been reading my Bible. If I do read my Bible, God's going to deal with me, so I don't want to read my Bible. But I should be reading my Bible. What I should have been thinking is I need to do what God tells me to do. But I hadn't come that far yet. So I'm driving and there's no music on. There's no radio on. I turn the radio on. I'm telling you, you can't make this stuff up. I'm turning the radio on and out of the radio comes the words, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Click, I turned it off. And then I looked outside and then I was scared. And I was under great conviction. Now, that's the only part of the story. Later on, I finally surrendered. But I'm just telling you, you need to respect the Word of God. You need to love the Word of God. You need to want to develop your relationship with the God of the Word. The Word of God is not just a book of rules, of do's and don'ts, even though those are boundaries that God gives us for our protection, but it's a relationship with the God of this universe. And the way that you get a relationship and develop that is delight in the commandments and come to love the Word of God. Psalm 1, wow, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then in Psalm 119, when we get to verse 97, it'll say this, Oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. I can't imagine somebody making excuses now for not reading their Bible. That's why we give out a calendar every year and say, hey, it's not, read your Bible every day. And if you follow our calendar, and I'm not saying it's the only one. You know, if you read 30 minutes a day or read your Bible through four times a year, praise God. I think that's awesome. But at least get started by our calendar where at the end of the year, if you stay in that calendar every day, and sometimes there might be, you might get a day behind. But don't get discouraged. Before you know it, you might be a day ahead. But stick with it. And when you get to the end of the year, listen, you'll have read through the New Testament twice, the Old Testament once, the Psalms twice, two or three times, and then the Proverbs every month. And you won't be the same. Because God will deal with you every day. And then I want you to see verse number 48. And we'll get down to this one. My hands also will I lift up into thy commandments, which I have loved. I will meditate in thy statutes. All right? You know what this is talking about here? It's our faith. I want to lift up my hands to the Word of God. I want to love it. I want to meditate on it. You know what faith does? Now, the Bible says, we all know these verses, without faith it is impossible to please God. All right, we know that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Do you know what faith will produce in your life? Faith will produce action. If you have a if you have the faith in the Word of God and you get a conviction, guess what? You're going to live that conviction out in your own life. That's faith in action. And the response to the Word of God is demonstrated here by the psalmist. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. I love them. He said that in the previous verse. I want to meditate upon thy statutes. I want you to understand something. Meditating just means to get a better understanding of what God is saying. Doesn't mean rolling your eyes in the back of your head and doing something or whatever. It just means meditate. Think about it. That's why in the Psalms sometimes you'll come to the word Selah. And you know what that word means? It just means pause and meditate on what you just read. Now sometimes when I'm reading my Bible and I read through a proverb, I go, I think I need to read that again. And after I read it again, I think, I better read that again. If a guy's going to preach through a passage of Scripture, I think he needs to read it enough times that he kind of understands what God's saying before he jumps, you know, tries to jump in it. Meditate upon what God is saying. Now listen to me. These eight verses really talk about how our faith is to be lived out when the world's trying to intimidate us. Now listen to me. I'll say it again. The Word of God has the answer. It has the answer. Not just for our salvation, praise God, but it has the answer for our service, our surrender, and everything we do. It's amazing that the Word of God tells us everything we need to know. Psalm 25. Oh my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. Wow. Psalm 25, 2 and 3 kind of says what this whole thing says. Listen, the Word of God will set me free. I am not to be intimidated by the world, because after all, if God be for us, who can be against us? So we should not be intimidated by the world, but it will try to intimidate you, I guarantee you. But take the Word of God and give it, let it give you the confidence and boldness that you need to serve Him. Let's stand tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, thank You for this section of the Psalm, the sixth division that we read, how that we can be intimidated, but we don't have to be if we'll just meditate, get freedom from Your Word, lift up our hands, basically, for the faith of God. So I pray tonight, Lord, that we might be encouraged through the inerrant, infallible Word of God tonight. And Lord, help us to not let the world intimidate us, but at the same time, we have a right attitude. I want to make sure that I say that we have the right attitude, but understanding with also the right attitude, we have the confidence of the Scriptures. In Christ's name we ask, amen. 451, trust and obey, for there's no other way.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on us.